firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
The Lord Jesus is a life giver. You see, not only does he have life, but he gives life. That's just some of the great wisdom that you'll hear today from our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, on Through the Bible. We've got an exciting study ahead of us as we examine the credentials of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host on this five-year journey through God's entire Word. Before we dive right into God's Word, though, we'd like to take a couple of minutes to welcome Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, who's here to give us an update on really what's a very important and groundbreaking ministry for us in Vietnam. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Always good to be here, Steve, and always exciting to talk about how God is doing things in new ways and exciting ways. And you and I say this a lot. Radio remains the mainstay of what we do, and it will for many years. But God has broken ground and gotten us into new ways of delivering through the Bible. And you and I were just talking. I think this was really the first new delivery system we really explored.
Yeah, and these, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about little speaker boxes, like a Bluetooth speaker that has an SD card that then gets put into the top of it, and it has a limited number of broadcasts of Through the Bible in Vietnamese.
Yes, and if you imagine like a public library, that little SD card is like your library card, and you come to the, what they call the hub, and we're not going to get too specific because persecution is still happening in Vietnam. So this kind of activity is actually happening under the radar, so to speak. But they come to the hub, and the hub is like a library, and they say, I want the book of John through the Bible. I want these programs. And then they go, and when they launched this, they told me they would give them a month's worth of programs, and they come back in a week and say, we listened to it all multiple times. We want more.
And I remember that video that you brought back of going through that little shopping area, and that one vendor was, you know, blasting through the Bible in Vietnamese for all to hear.
I can literally see it in my mind's eye. I was kind of going through this typical Asian market. There were clothes hanging everywhere. I was kind of pushing through with my cell phone, and then I come out, and there's this little speaker box, and all day long, the shopkeepers, many of whom are not Christians, are listening to a Through the Bible broadcast.
Yeah. Well, let's read some quotes from some listeners of these speaker boxes in Vietnamese. Here's one. Thank you for making the Bible available to those of us who live in remote areas. The Word of God through your programs has transformed the lives of many believers. We have been saved from worldly habits like gambling, drinking, and even domestic violence. Now we are dedicated to build up families in our village and put God first.
And Steve, I wish that all of our listeners could be transported to Vietnam and see what a remote, hilly country, mountainous in certain parts it is. And so when you think about a village, reaching a village, it's often, I've been in places where I've looked across from the top of one sort of mountain to another, and I asked my local host, how long would that take to walk? And he'll say like an hour or 2 hours. So we are reaching deep into the country of Vietnam.
Here's another one. Your program helps me and my family grow up in Jesus Christ. Our faith is stable and even in the middle of the persecution from our clan because they are unbelievers. Please pray for us to remain faithful to Jesus and to share his love with those who oppose us. It isn't easy, but we will share your programs and hope they will change.
And there's that reference that I talked about earlier, that persecution is alive and well in Vietnam. Some church activities are allowed, but they very much frown upon the sharing of the gospel, or we call it evangelism. They call it proselytization. And so it's a very dangerous place to be a Christian, and strengthening these believers with the Word of God is very important to dealing with persecution.
And we would encourage you to pray for the Vietnamese listeners today. And as always, sign up for our World Prayer Team email. Go to ttb.org/pray and sign up for that Monday through Friday email, and you'll be able to pray along with thousands of other listeners for specific areas of the world. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study in John chapter 5?
Father, we're so grateful that you have not just given us your word, but you've given us the privilege of sending it out to the whole world, sending it out to remote places on mountaintops, little villages in Vietnam and big cities in Asia and Europe and throughout Africa and Latin America and South Asia, the whole world, Lord, you have allowed us to be part of that. What a privilege, and we thank you for that. We pray we'll be good stewards and that you will guide us and lead us in making the decisions to expand this ministry and to grow it. And Lord, now, as we open your word, we pray that you will transform our lives and give us that vision that you have for the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now as we come today again, friends, to this fifth chapter, you remember the Lord Jesus had gone in the sheep gate. He was doing actually by demonstration what John the Baptist had done by word. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And there was that impotent man there, helpless and hopeless, and our Lord raised him up. And the thing that listed the enmity of the enemy was the strange thing. He did it on the Sabbath day, and they opposed that. They went to the man and wanted to know who had done it. The man actually didn't know. But our Lord found him in the temple later, and there is where he forgave him his sin. Sin no more, he said to him. Now the man was able to tell them who had done it. Now this caused a great wave of enmity against our Lord, and it was the beginning of a movement that set these bloodhounds of hate on his trail, and they never let up till they folded their arms beneath his cross. Then they wanted to know on what basis that he did this, you see. And he had put down three great principles here that's true of him, and it's on the basis of those three that he gave this wonderful statement that is used in personal work today, and rightly so. But we do need to back it up with what he said. The statement that's used is verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not, or does not, come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed out of death into the life." Now, who said that? That's the important thing. Who said them? Well, here's the one who said them. Here are the three statements he made on which you have the foundation for this verse. The first one is in verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." In other words, the Lord Jesus said, "I'm God, I do what God does." That's important. That makes his invitation a glorious invitation and makes it good words. Then the second statement is, verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," that is, give them life, "even so the Son quickeneth," or gives life, "to whomsoever he will." In other words, the Lord Jesus raises the dead. Now, we have a great deal being said about the gift of healing today, but with that gift went the ability to raise the dead. Paul raised the dead, so did Simon Peter. Our Lord gave them that gift. It was an apostolic gift of healing and raising the dead. Well, that's gone by. Now, the Lord Jesus raised the dead. He'd raise the dead because he's God. These other men did it in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the reason today that he can give everlasting life to you. And the third statement is verse 22. He says, "For not even the Father judgeth any man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Now, the Lord Jesus didn't come to judge the first time, but he will come the next time, and all judgment is committed to him. Now, this is very wonderful, you see. He's God. He raises the dead, and he's going to judge. And he's the one that says if you'll hear his word and believe on him, you won't come into judgment. The judge tells us that. That makes these words wonderful words. Now as we move on into verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. That's a great statement. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What does he mean, and now is? Well, we're in that period of the hour that's coming, but in verse 28, he makes it clear the hour had not arrived. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. And what he says here, the hour is coming. The whole thought is that we're living in that period or that age or dispensation that's moving to the time when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, also, that has application. The hour is coming when the dead that are in the grave are going to hear his voice, and now is. Well, what about the dead? Well, the Lord Jesus, you remember, said to the two sisters at the time of the death of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, and I'm not quoting that accurately as I should, but the point that I'm trying to lift out is that they're dead now, if you please. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Though he were dead. Well, what do you mean, though he's dead? That mean down in the grave and he hears? Oh, no, no. Spiritually dead. Death means separation from God. But the hour is coming when he says those that are in the grave shall hear his voice also. But today, the dead spiritually. Paul said to the Ephesians, you were dead in trespasses and sins. That is our condition spiritually, you see. He that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me, and he shall not come into condemnation, but he's passed out of death, out of spiritual death, into the life that he gives. Now, that is the thought that is here. We find that not only now the spiritually dead will hear him, but what he's saying is in the future. Why? Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so he gave to the Son to have life in himself. The Lord Jesus is a life giver, you see. Not only does he have life, but he gives life. Verse 27, and he hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he's the Son of God. Now, he came the first time as a Savior, not to judge, but he's coming next time as the judge. Because listen to him, this verse 28, now marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now, that hour hasn't come yet. It's the spiritually dead today that can hear his voice. Verse 29, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, or better still, of judgment. Now, there are two resurrections. You have the book of Revelation even labels them like that. This is the first resurrection. They'll have part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of all the saved. And there's first of all, and that's the next thing on the agenda of God, is what we call the rapture of the church. And that's a good Bible word. Paul used it in 1 Thessalonians when he said we'd be caught up. That means be raptured. The rapture takes place sometime in the future. It's not dated, no signs given. It could happen at any moment. He's going to call his own out of the world, both living and dead. And that is a part of the first resurrection. Then you have, during the tribulation period, a great many that'll become martyrs. And they'll be raised at the end of the great tribulation period together with the Old Testament saints. And that's part of the first resurrection. And they're raised to live forever here upon this earth. And that's the first resurrection. That is the resurrection of life as our Lord called it. Then the resurrection of judgment is the great white throne where all the unsaved of all the ages will be raised, and they wanted to be judged by their works. They will be. God is just and righteous, and they will have an opportunity there to stand before a holy God and plead their case. But God's already warned them there's no one saved in that judgment. This is the lost that are brought there. And they are judged according to their works. But he's made it very clear, no man can be saved according to his works. Our natural state is a state of lostness. Now, this makes this a tremendous verse. The Lord Jesus says in verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. That is, this is a self-limitation, that when he came down to this earth, took upon himself our humanity, he came down as a man, not to do his will, but the Father's will. He says, I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You see, he didn't come to do his will. He came to do his Father's will. In his humanity, that was a self-limitation that he took when he became a man. That is the example, of course, for us today. You and I have a will, an old nature that's not obedient to God. It can't even be obedient unto God. We're actually in rebellion against God. That is the natural state of man. That's the reason our Lord said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Therefore, our Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, that is spirit. So that today we have to have the new birth, because this old nature, my friend, is incorrigible. It's a communist. It's in rebellion against God. It's been carrying a protest banner before the gates of heaven ever since the man came out through the gates of paradise in the Garden of Eden. Now, the Lord Jesus says in verse 31, if I alone bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. The Scripture said that in the mouth of two witnesses, a thing is established, you see. And so he makes this statement here, if I bear witness of myself, well, that would not stand up in court. But there's another that beareth witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Now, the witness he's talking about is not John the Baptist. They would immediately think that's who he's referring to. But he's making it clear that he's not referring to a human witness at all. If I alone bear witness of myself, my witness will not stand up, you see. They wouldn't accept it. But there's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Now he says, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. John did bear witness of Christ, but our Lord is not referring to him here. It's not a human witness. That would make two witnesses for them, but he's referring to another. He says, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He has a higher witness than the witness of man. But he gives a testimony to John the Baptist. He says he was a burning and a shining, not light, but lamp. He was a light bearer, you see. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now you see the credentials that the Lord Jesus had were the miracles that he performed. This idea today that there are those that have the same power that Jesus had, to my judgment, it's blasphemy. You see, these miracles he performed attested that he was who he claimed to be. And friends, there weren't just a few around. He didn't put on healing services, didn't have people get in a line and come by. He moved out in the crowds, the highways and the byways. He took no offerings at all. But as he moved along, why, people were healed. And I've called attention to this in the Gospels again and again, and it's so important I must refresh your mind of it again today, and it's just simply this. Friends, there were not just a half a dozen or 100 or 2 that he'd healed that were in that land. There were literally thousands of people that he had healed. It was demonstrated. Nobody in that day contradicted the fact he healed. They'd have been a fool if they had. You have to wait till you get 2,000 years this side of it, and in a musty library in New York City, thousands of miles removed. Then you can sit down as a scholar and write a book, say you don't believe in miracles, but you don't prove a thing, friends, when you do that. Now, will you notice? The Lord Jesus says, "The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." These were miracles. They get right down to the nitty-gritty. Thousands of people. "Ye've not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not." Now, this verse is always misunderstood. Search the scriptures. Actually, friends, it's not an imperative. It's in the indicative. Let me put it like this. Ye search the scriptures. He's making a statement. He's not urging them to do so. He says, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And friends, you better be careful that you find Jesus in the Bible. If you don't, why, your search is in vain. He says, and yet ye'll not come to me that ye might have life. You see, the scriptures speak of him, but he says, I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And there is coming an Antichrist someday, and the world will receive him. They rejected Christ. The Antichrist will come in his own name, have an image made to himself. Now he says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? They look for the applause of man. And that's the curse today in our churches, our good churches, is this business of back scratching people and teachers with itching ears. Each one want to compliment the other and not tell the truth of the Word of God. They seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And friends, that's so important. Back in the books of the Pentateuch we've already considered, I've attempted to point the Lord Jesus out. I don't find him on every page, but I think he's on every page of the Pentateuch. I think he's on every page of the Bible. Moses wrote of me, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And when a man begins to make an attack upon the Old Testament, watch out. He really is making a subtle attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid there are many men very foolishly begin to question the Old Testament, not realizing what they're doing. It's like the man at the insane asylum. He was digging at the foundation, and a man came by and said to him, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm digging out the foundation. Why, he said, you live in that building. He says, I know, but I live upstairs. And I'm afraid that a great many people say, I live in the New Testament. But my friends, the Old Testament is the foundation. Our Lord says, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? They both go together. We are going to come to the 6th chapter next time, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 that's in all 4 Gospels. And I said when we got to the Gospel of John, we'd look at it in detail. We shall do that beginning tomorrow.
Well, that's a great teaser for tomorrow's broadcast. I hope that you'll join us. Today, Dr. McGee pointed out that an understanding of both the Old Testament and the New Testament are essential to a well-rounded picture of who Jesus is. So if you'd like to know more about how Jesus is central to all of Scripture, then I definitely recommend Dr. McGee's hardback book, Jesus, Centerpiece of Scripture. It's just one of the many great resources that we make available to help you deepen your study of God's Word. To purchase Jesus' Centerpiece of Scripture, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit our website at ttb.org. And while you're online at ttb.org, be sure to check out one of my favorite resources when you click on In Your Language. There, you can find out how to share God's Word in more than 1,200 languages, in print and audio, with your family and friends. You can also download the Bible.is app and the new Bible.is Kids app to your smartphone or device. These great free resources are brought to you through a partnership with our friends at Faith Comes by Hearing. Again, just go to the resources section of ttb.org and click on Bible in Your Language. Well, that's all for today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here tomorrow saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.